It's episode 155 of the Pranks and Ferb podcast, and it is episode 155B, because 155A was mysteriously deleted. Now, we covered some very controversial topics in that episode that we recorded earlier, and I think the man heard it and deleted it, Justin Panks.
If by man we mean you.
If by man we mean me, certainly it was me that did it, but...
My side, because I've peeked behind the curtain, we record your side and my side. You record your side, I record my side.
Yeah, it'd be weird if we did it the other way around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. But then mine's still sitting there all pretty. And it was. I tell you, what did I say to you when we stopped? I said, that was a good one.
Yeah, we both said that was a really good one.
And you got all jealous and thought, I don't want that getting out. Jussie P was spitting straight fire.
You were. Not as much as you were before this podcast recording we just did. I'm very angry with you for having not recorded what you were doing.
Recorded what?
I don't do it now. You'll spoil it.
Can't do my old man voice.
You did an old man voice and I cried with laughter.
You were crying with laughter at me.
I don't like it, though.
I think you do like it.
I don't like it. It puts me on edge.
It doesn't put you on edge at all, Ash. It gets you a little bit firm around the back axle. Just got a little chub on.
Don't say that about me.
No, it's just I'm talking about a little increased blood flow to your penis. That's what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I still don't like it.
Do you remember when people used to have telephones, Ash? And you'd go and sit there and you'd call your family that, and they'd all ring round and that. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, miss that time. It's a lovely time, simpler times. And I told you that I just bought myself a new pair of brown trousers.
I don't like it. I told you,
I can't wear them yet. I've got to have them taken up because I'm a 48-inch waist and a 27 inside leg. I had a shave this morning and cut my bloody cheek, didn't I? Got a bit of tissue on it now. Looks like a fried egg with a red yolk.
Damn this. I don't like it. I really don't like it.
I also told you I'm going to whisper in your ear like this when I enter you, Ash. I'm going to take one of them little blue tablets there and I'm going to fill you up with my seed.
I wish you'd stop.
I did. Yeah, that's my new character.
Oh, I don't like
What's
him.
His name? What's his name?
Cyril.
Cyril, yeah, Cyril.
I really don't like it.
It's been 3 years now since I lost Edna. And
where is she?
I don't know. We went to the Blue Water and she went in John Lewis and got lost. I don't know where she is. Bloody good customer service, though. They read her name out on the teller 3 times. Couldn't bloody fault them.
We've got our second character for the live show.
Yeah. What was his name again?
Cyril.
I used to know a bloke called Cyril, and his missus was called Lydia, and he talked like that. And he had a BMW convertible. Like, he was like 80 and like a 3 Series. And he goes... That's a bloody lovely motor, that is. He goes, I can have the roof down, me and Lydia there, and she'll be out. And he goes, she'll come out of the salon, and I'll be doing 75. He goes, and you can't even feel a bloody ruffle up your neck.
It's really weird. You've told me that story before.
Have I?
Yeah, but not in that context. You just told me that once someone said that to you.
Yeah, he was doing it with his hands. I told you, you can't even feel a bloody ruffle. I was like, yeah, German engineering, mate. Nice one, Squirrel. We just call him Squirrel because we're hilarious.
Oh, you're so funny.
I know.
So I didn't realise the live show, when we do it, was going to be you doing characters and me just not liking it.
Well, yeah, you could interview Charlotte.
Yeah, she'll be. Will you be dressing up?
I don't know, because I'm guessing that more people will be listening on the pod rather than live in the room.
How are you?
Don't know, and I'm extremely lazy. I don't want to dress up like
Charlotte. Will you dress up as Morgan Ramsay. Freeman? Because that's another one of your impressions.
Or that man there. He got the Shawshank there. First time I saw Andy Dufresne, he came walking into the Shawshank there. That one.
Yeah.
And the other one.
So if you to dress up, because you're not allowed to black up, are you?
Is Morgan Freeman black? I hadn't even noticed. That's how not racist I am.
But so if you were to do an impression of Morgan Freeman, do you just have to do it?
I think I'd actually go with the moles rather than the black.
Because, right, so Rory Bremner was an impressionist who dressed up as the people he did impressions of. And when he did Trevor McDonald, I think he blacked up. Am I right?
Why is it... Don't you think it's weird that the two biggest impressionists of the late 90s, John Coleshaw and Rory Bremner, look like each other?
Yeah, very, very similar.
They look like each other. But maybe and John Coleshaw maybe does look like Alan Sugar.
Face.
Yeah, but... Do you remember Mike Yarwood?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't think he was very good at impressions.
Rory Bremner was okay with a few politicians, but beyond that, they're all awful. John Coleshaw sounds like John Coleshaw doing a voice of someone.
I think that the worst thing about impressionists isn't their awful impressions, it's the material they say.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. That's the
can
real,
you imagine
real
if Tory... can you imagine Tory? Fucking hell. Freudian. Can you imagine if Tony Blair was having dinner with Sylvester Stallone? It's like... No. Then they'd have to go through this whole skit.
I still can't. But yeah, that is a massive, massive problem. But that's where I think, say, for example, Rory Bremner probably is on a level above because he was doing satire, political satire. And
that's boring.
No,
political
it's boring,
satire's boring.
But he, I think that's what made it not as, like, I didn't particularly enjoy it, but it wasn't, it didn't have to be as funny. It was funny enough for political satire. Whereas if you watch like Luke Kempner doing his ITV show, it's not satire necessarily. And the jokes are not as strong as maybe a stand-up set would be.
I think you can tell the intelligence of an audience, certainly, by the characters that an impressionist is doing. So if you went to, like, if you went to go and watch Rory Bremner live, I mean, who the fuck would do that? But I think there'd be loads of, like, shit about, like, the Chilcot Inquiry and this and that and the other. But then you go and watch, like, an ITV one and he's doing fucking Simon Cowell and...
Lorraine.
Keith Lemon, yeah.
But so, coming back to that other point, you're not allowed to black up, and rightly so. We all agree with that. But what would he do if he was now doing...
would just voice over some penguins and go, oh, the penguins.
No. I'm talking about... What's his name? The newsreader I just said.
Oh, he did the penguins, didn't he?
No, that was Morgan.
Morgan Freeman, yeah. I was pretending I'd confused the two.
All right. Effect. What would he do now? Would he just go on and do the voice? Or is he not allowed to do the voice?
I don't think he's doing anything now.
No, but I'm saying, if it came out now,
no,
he's
I know
not
what
allowed
you're
to
saying.
Black up. So what does he do to look like Trevor McDonald? How does it work if you're an impressionist? He's dressing up like everyone else. He's having prosthetics and things like everyone else.
Mm.
But he can't for Morgan Freeman.
Or
Trevor McDonald.
Or anyone black. Well, I don't know why you singled them two out.
But they're the ones who people always do.
Do you remember Whoopi Goldberg went to a party with her then husband Ted Danson and he blacked up? And he was with Whoopi Goldberg.
What? They were married? I thought that she was...
Oh, don't say it.
I never knew. I thought that she was.
I don't know if they were married, but they were certainly a couple.
Wow.
That's an unlikely couple, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what a career he's had. The weird thing where he's done, like... stuff that is really well
who liked. Do you think is the talent most right that who has the biggest discrepancy between utter talentlessness and success?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh my god, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Really?
Yep.
We're so...
He's like a sort of like southern Sean Connery, and just he's Nicolas Cage. You know, like Robert De Niro's like always Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
but he's Robert De Niro. Well, Nicolas Cage is always Nicolas Cage,
that's
and
the
he's
lucky
Nicolas.
Thing for De Niro. I think that about De Niro to a certain extent.
No, and I do, because that's the difference between a movie star and an actor, isn't it? Like a movie star, you want to see Robert De Niro in a film, whereas like a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's lucky that he is who he is, though, because I don't think he's got a huge amount of range.
No, he's got no range. But Nicolas Cage has got no range, and he's Nicolas fucking Cage.
Yeah.
Like, he's a terrible, wooden, odd,
he's
talking,
he's a very interesting
weird
character, isn't he? I think he's a lunatic, genuinely.
Yeah, and Steven Seagal as well is another one.
Well, he's an absolute loon, isn't he?
Did he's an absolute that? Loon, and he wasn't good at martial arts or anything.
No,
he's terrible.
And
he looks too old in the, like, he's shit.
But what about that thing where he become like a martial law guy and, like, they were taking
yeah,
on,
wasn't it like a sort of like, was it an actual documentary or was it all bullshit?
I don't know.
He was called a lawman or something.
Yeah, a drugs den where he drove a tank through a wall and killed a dog. And there were no drugs there whatsoever.
He drove a tank through a wall and killed a dog?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was like, they're going on this drugs raid. So I think this is right. He then drove this tank into this building. They're like going to, you know, take on this massive drugs cartel. But inside it was just a farm. There were no drugs.
What is a cartel? I hear that. That's one of those words I hear all the time. I don't actually know what it means. It's just like a group.
I think it's a collection of drug dealers. Like the whole process, I would say. The family of drugs runners. Mm.
Like Family Circle Biscuits.
I'd say it was a group of apparently independent producers whose goal is to increase their collective profits by means of price fixing.
Oh, it's a monopoly.
And restrictive practices.
It's a monopoly kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a monopoly. I'm drinking a cup of tea as well. I will slap.
I'm drinking some bottles of Aldi's Rossini Lager.
I had the Camden IPA this week.
Oh, yeah?
It was bloody lovely.
Do you like Camden Hills?
I do, but I once had it where I think it'd gone a little bit.
And yeah, it's halfway there already, isn't it?
It tasted a bit creamy, and I didn't like it as much.
Rossini is Aldi's equivalent of Peroni.
Yeah, Peroni would be my lager of choice.
Peroni gives me heartburn, but Rossini doesn't. I like Rossini better. Aldi equivalent, as good if not better, Ash. That's what everybody who ain't got no money
says.
We're
big Aldi shoppers now, of course.
Oh, I've been tooting the Aldi horn for a long time.
Here's the thing. I went to buy my girlfriend some flowers, right? She'd been away for a few days. I don't know how it works. She went away for a few days. Me and the baby bought her some flowers.
But yeah, of course she did.
They're all fake colours. Like, they're all dyed.
Are they?
Yeah, like, they've obviously been put in water.
See, only Aldi's would take something like a flower and actually improve it. Like, they have a Rossini.
They all look very vibrant and stuff, but I thought to myself, what have we become where a flower isn't enough? You know what I mean?
I mean, if you think about it, Ash, that is like a picture of someone through a filter, isn't it? We've got to add things.
Also, in front of me, I have got some a pack of love hearts.
I remember them, those sweets made out of chalk.
Yes, so I thought I'd, I'm going to just cut them somewhere. You tell me when to stop and I'll cut them and I'll read you a love heart as we go throughout the podcast.
You just now.
Oh, it says, all mine.
Not strictly true.
Well, you say that. In what way?
Well, the love
not?
Hearts are, because we're like 200 miles, well, 100 miles away from each other.
I don't know.
Far away. No, I don't know either.
There is no way you could stop me eating this love heart right now, is there?
I could probably say something disgusting and try and put you off. But I won't do that.
It's already in there, mate. It's already in.
I think love hearts are made out of the stuff that I pick out of my bridge with a paperclip.
Oh, you've got a bridge.
I've got a bridge in where I've got a false tooth. And like now and then it gets a build-up. It's not plaque. It's not tartar. It's something else.
Scum.
It's scum. And I always get a paperclip and I bend it straight and I push and it comes out and it's just like love heart material.
Why don't you have that gap like filled in?
Where?
In your under your bridge.
Well, it's just like you can't.
Can't you?
No, because
can't or won't.
When I got my tooth knocked out, it's the root and the tooth snapped. So the tooth just came out, but then the root was still in there, and they had to hack a big V in my gum to get it out. So there's like a load of gum missing. So now, like, where there would be gum in the, like, gaps in the bottom of where... It's the middle bottom tooth I've got missing.
It's weird, isn't it? The Americans think we have bad teeth in the UK. It's weird, that.
I had really good teeth until I got that punched out.
Right, I'm going to read you the love hearts. There's a lot of emojis. I'm not happy about this. Six.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Six of them are emojis.
Are they loving emojis? The little kissy face one?
Right, we have got... three identical ones. They are a winky face with a tongue out.
Whoa.
We've got a crying emoji. That's what I was doing when we when you were doing that little voice. We've got a face with two hearts for eyes. I mean, that'd be absolutely useless. They'd be useless eyes.
That's my face when I see a woman with big bazoongas.
And a winky face.
That's three winky faces, but not with a tongue out.
No,
I gotcha.
Tongue out on this one.
What was the idea of love hearts? You'd give one to, like, a girl that would say, suck me off or whatever they do. What do they say on them?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. I've got sugar lips.
Have you?
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
First love. Ever yours. Relax. Be mine. Sweetheart. It's love. I love you. Sweetheart. Say yes. Winner, forever, wild thing, will you, my hero, always.
Have you ever been talking to a woman and just thought to yourself, I bet you've got a really ugly minge?
No.
I haven't either. Do you think that's weird?
No. No.
Because I've spoken to men and thought, I bet he's got a big old dick. You know, you get that BDE, that big dick energy going on. There's no female equivalent,
I've
is there? You
don't.
You never had a BDE?
Mm-mm. I've had people say it to me, but I've never.
Yeah, of course you have.
No, I've not.
Yeah, right up until the point you get your penis out. But no, it's like you sort of like you don't assume a woman's genitalia from her demeanour. I think that's odd.
And love hearts made you think of that, did they?
No, it's just I think about weird things.
So I was at work once and we were playing like an inter-department football competition.
Sounds great.
Oh, God almighty. So we went down to this, it was in London, and we went down to this, archway football pitch. And this guy, Martin, who I worked with, he was a nerd. He was a non-charismatic sort of vacuum of... You know the kind of people who he tried so hard to not be that, but there was no escaping what he was. Do you know what I mean? He was a void. He was a Hoover.
I know people that do stand-up comedy that are that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or especially certainly when I was doing open mics. And I used to look at them and go, what the fuck are you doing? I'm not saying I'm amazing at it, but at least like people in my life had told me I was funny. You are literally the opposite
of
funny. You've got somber bones.
Yeah,
it's like the opposite of funny bones.
So we went and played football, and he was brilliant at football.
Really? Now you surprised me.
But he didn't play. So he didn't play for a team. He just was absolutely exceptional, and he didn't look like he would be. He had a pathetic haircut, and he had a wonky eye, and he was so boring. But he was brilliant. And then we went to the changing room afterwards. And he had the most gigantic dick.
Well, don't need a personality when you got one of them, do you?
But he didn't. I mean, I don't think that he had been using it to his benefit.
What, was he pissing through his arsehole?
Yeah, I think so. But I just thought, and it made me feel great about myself, because I thought to myself...
Because you took it all.
I thought to myself... Like, if I was in his position, I thought I would have been the most popular person I could have possibly been. Brilliant at football with this ginormous, I'm going to use the word schlong. But he had completely, it hadn't affected him, his personality. Whereas,
well, no, that's why. He didn't need a personality.
Yeah, but he hadn't used it to his advantage. He was still very much a single...
Like,
boring.
It's like if a country has the nuclear bomb, it doesn't need to be diplomatic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He wasn't gaining from it. He hadn't used it.
No, but he's just he's just quietly packing heat,
isn't he? Giving
he?
Up off the vibe or anything.
Well, they say the empty barrel makes the most noise, don't they, Ash?
I've never heard that.
You've never heard the empty barrel makes the most noise?
I mean, I understand what it means, but...
Yeah, you've never really never heard that?
No, I've never heard that expression.
Oh, it's a well-known expression.
Well-known in East Anglia?
No, I think that's a global one, actually.
The empty barrel makes the most noise.
Yeah, if you drop two barrels...
What?
And the empty one's louder, but it's got no substance to it. So it has to... That's what people like that haven't got a big old dick have to sort of like become comedians.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The empty
barrel... Oh, dear, what have I said?
The loudest at parties, always showing off at work, boasting about their accomplishments to anyone who will listen. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
But then you've got your old matey with his fucked up eye and his big dick and he's good at football and he thinks that's enough. But
he doesn't even play football. He wasn't even using it. He wasn't even using
his schlong either. That's a metaphor for his whole life.
I don't
think
he could have. I think he would have had to already be laying down by the time it went into action, certainly.
What do you mean? It's too big?
I reckon.
That big?
It was ginormous.
I think there's a point of diminishing returns, isn't there?
I would say so. It's a waste.
Yeah, it's a waste. It gets to be a waste. Unless
it's like driving an articulated lorry down to the Blackwall Tunnel. You know, at one point, you can't drive it down there because the sides of the tunnel are too low, aren't they?
It's like a Rottweiler trying to get for a cat flap.
Yeah, it's like...
You can do it. I believe in you.
It's like a giant dick trying to go in a tiny fanny. It was massive. I can still see it now. I've got a terrible memory. It's been like, you know, like how they used to take photos, or did you make it at school where you got an old tin and you put some photographic paper in, you remove the bit of sticky tape and then it burnt the image on the paper.
Yeah.
But that's what his dick has done.
Do you think that famous image of the Loch Ness Monster was him doing the backstroke?
And it just flopped down into the water, back up and out, back up and out.
Breathing through it.
Oh, God.
Well, you give him a good write-up.
I know his name was Martin. Maybe I'll look at Martin, if you're listening. How's it gone, mate? How's it gone?
Ignore what he said about your eye.
Oh,
try
yeah, that
and focus
was bit...
on the positives.
Oh, he can't focus on anything. That's the problem with the eye.
he can one side of his face.
Oh.
He had three eyes.
He did have three eyes, all similar size, actually.
When you looked at his dick, did it say, "Feed me, Seymour"?
It said, "Please feed me, Seymour. I'm really hungry." Written down it.
Oh, dear. Why do men talk about dick so much?
Don't know. Always wanting what you haven't got, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny. You think like ancient civilizations and that, they just like make like those sort of like little fertility statues, like gigantic hogs. What about that thing where they reckon that there's that, is it the Wiltshire man? There's like a big chalk dude hut. They reckon that was like a hoax in like 1930 or something, didn't they?
Oh, really? So it's not some ancient Saxon
No, or Victorian.
Man.
I think it was like... I don't think it was that ancient. I don't know. I probably got that wrong. But...
I remember
it was surprisingly recent. They were like, oh, this actually was people fucking around in the Victorian era.
I love that, though. And that's just as valid to me.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. But it's just that men just... I don't know. There's an obsession.
It's like
with...
Stonehenge. Wouldn't it be great if Stonehenge was just some twat trying to build a house? Or it was a house. And like, if he could come back now, he'd go, "What are you talking about? This was my house."
But then them stones come from like Wales or something.
Yeah. I didn't realise till recently. You know, there's little rods to hold the top ones on. I didn't realise.
Yeah, they put them in though, didn't they?
Yes.
No, they've been put in...
No. Like, originally, they're not just balanced on there. There are nooks and...
No, but I think
I don't know at all. I made this up. That they sort of like did a kind of restoration in like the 20s or something, where they dug them all under the footings and put concrete in and then put rods in and that.
Oh, no.
Because it was all falling down, I think.
Have you ever been there?
I've driven past it and saw it from a motorway and thought, couldn't give a fuck.
I touched it as a child. Because we went around it. I remember going on Stonehenge.
I don't think I've been less impressed of anything you've ever told me.
But I just think it's weird. You can't go anywhere near it now. It's all roped off, isn't it?
Well, them fucking no good hippies ruined it for everyone, didn't they? That summer solstice bullshit.
That's
summer
solstice. Next Friday, of course.
I couldn't give a fuck. Hey, what was I going to say?
You were going to say it was your birthday last week?
Yeah, 44 now. That's depressing. Yeah. Is it depressing? No, yeah, it is. Yeah. That's confirmed.
I'm not having any birthdays this year.
No, don't blame you, mate. I'll be honest with you. Like, do you think... what does it mean, do you think, age?
Oh, it's just to make me think about my own mortality in such a way that it makes me want to cry.
Because people say age is only a number, but I go, yeah, it's a number that directly correlates with how less... every time that number goes up, that's one more year I've got less on the planet.
One less Christmas I'm going to see.
Yeah, I don't care about Christmas. So
no,
much,
I don't care about Christmas either.
Sunsets, Ash. I've seen more sunsets than I'm going to see.
Have you? How many have you seen?
Do you know where you can look at a sunset?
Just answer my question, please.
Well, none. Do you know why you can look at a sunset? Obviously, move on. Do you know why you can look at a sunset?
Yes, I do, yes.
Go on, why?
Because it's already happened.
No, because you're looking through thousands of miles of dust.
But when a sun sets, it's already set, isn't it? When you see
the sun doesn't fucking fade. This is the thing, what people don't get. The sun is always as bright as it is. It's in the centre of the solar system. Yes. It doesn't change. So when it's up in the sky, you're looking for a very small amount of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then but when it's setting on the horizon, you're looking along the surface of the planet through thousands and thousands of miles of dust. That's why you can look at the sun. But you can't look at it when it's in the sun. It's sky. It'll blind you.
Oh, thanks.
Think about it.
Late review.
Have you ever thought about that?
No.
So when it's down on the horizon...
Justin, again, when you say stuff like that, what you've just said, I believe everything you've said, right? Up to that point, it sounds absolutely plausible, right? It sounds like you've read that and that's the reason why. And then you say, have you ever thought about that? And I say no. And I think, oh, that means Justin's thought about it and now he's telling me like that's the truth, but it really it's just a thing he's thought up.
Well, no, it's my truth, Ash. Because I look at the sun in the sky and I can't look at it and I go, that's fucking bright. It's hurting my eyes. But when it gets down towards the sea or whatever, wherever you're looking at it, I'm thinking, why can I look at it now? Because the sun, I know the sun doesn't get brighter and dimmer. So it's because I'm looking, and then I thought, I must be looking along through loads of dust and debris and I can see you can actually look at a little round circle.
I mean, it's good because you've got to have theories. And it's a great theory. And like I say, I totally believed it up to the point that you then said, have you ever thought about it? And when you say that, I know that you, and as soon as that
I've arrived at that conclusion myself.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's wrong.
No, God, no. You were right about
you
the whole...
You explained to me that when the sun's setting, you can look at it because it ain't dim.
Well,
it's the
because
same
there's
bright
much less
sun.
Of the sun, maybe?
No, you can see the whole fucking thing, like a little round, it's like an orange colour, it's a different colour. The sun don't change colour, does it?
Have you're looking back to your new character, it sounds a bit like it.
Well, I was looking at it there, and I saw it was all, it looked like a peach. Do you like a nectarine? It's like a peach that's had a shave. You think about it, like when the sun's in the sky, it's not fucking white, hot, bright, burns your eyeballs out. Then when it's setting, it goes like red. And I'm thinking, well, the sun don't change colour. So I must be looking through a load of shit. I'm looking like through the atmosphere rather than at its narrowest point. I'm looking along it. That's got to be right.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you know otherwise.
Well, I know that during a sunset, the sun is lower in the sky than during most of the day. Much lower. Therefore, the light from the sun travels through 120 miles of dense atmosphere compared to the roughly 2 miles it has to travel straight up.
Oh. Oh, right. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. I was completely fucking right about that then.
Hold on, you said thousands of miles. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I don't know the numbers, do I? Like Stephen fucking Hawkins.
There you go. That's the truth.
Yeah, which is sort of what I said, but I got the numbers wrong. Yeah. Clearly, I was employing hyperbole because I'm an artist, not a scientist.
The sun, when you see the sun set, you're a few minutes behind, aren't you? Like it, as it goes over the horizon, it's already gone, but you can still see it briefly because of the bend of the light, because of the atmosphere.
No, but the Earth's flat. We know this. Oh, we spoke about this.
Sorry.
Here's a question. Do you think there is where would you place philosophy? Would you say it's an art or a science?
Well, it's an art, but it's a very important one.
Well, I would say philosophy is very unique in that it is technically an art, because if you study philosophy, you would get a BA honours degree. I've got one. What? Stop bringing that up. But it's a Bachelor of the Arts. But philosophy is a poetic and artistic imagining of a scientific endeavour, if you think about it. Because if you studied behavioural psychology, that would be a science. But philosophy is a sort of like flowery...
It's a halfway house.
Isn't it? I think that's why I'm so drawn to it.
Oh, I'm very drawn to it.
What's your favourite philosophical musing?
See, I like things like I Think, Therefore I Am.
That one. Oh, the one that everyone fucking knows.
But I like that kind of thing. I like to think about... It kind of makes me feel less worthless and pointless.
Well, no, I Think, Therefore I Am, I think, is about the consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It makes me feel like... This isn't philosophy, but someone pointed out that you are not a skeleton. You are basically a brain sitting inside a skeleton.
Are you aware of the concept of remote consciousness?
Yes, that is...
That's odd, isn't it?
That is... Is that where you...
People think our consciousness doesn't actually reside in our brains. Rather, our brains are like an antenna. So if you're listening to the radio, like the radio station isn't your radio. That's just sort of like like a conduit.
But who is it then? Where am I?
That's what they don't know.
And why am I not aware of it?
I think human consciousness is. You remember my theory?
Yeah, ants.
The cosmic parasite. No, not ants.
Cosmic ants.
No. Cosmic. I've got ants. I've got ants in my house, actually.
You know how I stopped ants in my house last summer?
You poured a kettle of boiling water down the hole.
No.
People used to do that in the old days. How expensive was ant powder in the 80s that my mum would go out there 17 times and boil water? That must have cost more money.
Yeah, really fucking horrible way to go as well.
I don't know.
That's the way you want to go. Oh, I saw a pig getting killed like that. Someone posted it on Twitter and they'd stunned
like
the pig.
Like what? How did it get killed?
Well, it was in the slaughterhouse, and they stunned the pigs to like kill them. And then they're boiled to remove like, I don't know what, but clean them.
They blowtorch them first to get the hair off, don't they?
But then this pig, as it was being lowered into the boiling water, was still alive and it was kicking and screaming, and then it kicked itself out of its dunking, how it was hung up, and then it was just in the water boiling alive. It was a real video.
See, now why? Why am I, as I think I'm quite a empathetic man, why don't I care about that?
Oh, you would have if you'd seen it.
I wouldn't.
I honestly
don't. And I'm not saying it in a kind of like, blasé way, like things like that. I know they should bother me, but I've got a disconnect there.
I think you've seen it because you saw that meat in that shop once and you were like, oh god, that's weird.
No, it wasn't weird to me, but I was like, what I was thinking was, in these precious times where we have to be so mindful of this and that and not offensive, why is there big pictures? It was like the front of the shop was done in that sort of wrap where it was, you know, it's sort of like and it was like massive pictures of like joints of meat and minced beef. And I was like, that's like mashed up like flesh. And it didn't bother me, but I was like, how can they do that? And you know, you you can't show gore in a film unless you're like over a certain age. I just thought it's in the high street. I just, that struck me as odd.
It is weird.
But I would watch a pig going yes, poor pig, but it would just,
the best way that I found to get rid of ants was push coffee, that instant dried coffee, into the entry, into where they were coming in, and they never ever came back.
What?
So I tracked them back to where they were coming into the house by the back of the house, and I got some coffee granules, and I crunched them up.
Well, I used to like ants. I've gone right off them because I love coffee. Were they like tea? Do they?
I don't know, but they never come back. I put it in there. They never come back. I thought about philosophy. I told my son this, and he liked it. And I think this is my favourite philosophical quote. And I won't get it right, and I don't know who it's by, but it's something along the lines of, society grows great when a man plants a tree whose shade he knows he'll never sit in.
Well, that's like Ram Dass's, a real man is a man that can give the love he's never received. It's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like true altruism is to give things and not just to do things that you're going to benefit in.
I'd like to know who did that, because I like that one.
What about man does not seek to see himself in running water, because what is in itself still can instill stillness into others?
What does that mean?
It means that the universe is chaotic and chaos, and you don't want to see your reflection, the human reflection in running water, and you can't. But a pool of water seems...
Can you not see a reflection in running water?
You can't see your reflection in running water, but you can see it in still water.
Why can't
Now, the reason we don't seek to see ourselves in running water is because we don't admit that we are part of a chaotic universe, whereas so a pool...
What I'm taking from this is you can't see your reflection in running water.
No, of course you can't.
That's my big takeaway from that.
Well, you've never... What were you talking about?
So if there's water running down smoothly, I wouldn't be able to see my reflection.
Yeah.
Well, I never.
But when it's still, you can see your reflection in it.
I know how water works.
Fucking don't. Like, you stood in front of... Like, can you see your reflection when you stood in the shower?
Hold on, I'm looking at my tea. Yep, I can see myself in the tea.
Yeah. But like,
Now
stir it. Give it a real good stir and look for your reflection.
Oh, it's a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
But then I'm a bit wobbly, as you always say.
You are. But man does not seek to see himself running water because running water is chaotic. It's chaos. There's no order. But a pool of water is order, but it's still. So we look to see ourselves in still water because it's what's still and still stillness into us. And we can see there is order in the world. This is how it works. I can look in there. I can see myself. But we don't want to admit that the universe is chaos and it doesn't give a fuck about us. It's indifferent. We're nothing. Anything.
It's great to have Russell Brand on the podcast this week.
I think that I would like to do the politics thing and that.
Not as good. That was Darius Davies you were doing there.
She lives with me!
My dad is very I'd like to be a bit more like him when it comes to stuff like death.
Well, how is he about it?
He just whether or not he's putting on a brave face, I don't know, but he's very much like, well, doesn't matter, does it? He thinks that, you know, he's had kids, he's passed on his genetics.
Yeah, exactly,
makeup.
Especially you could hope for. And you know what they say, that life and death would never coexist. You are either alive or dead, and the two never meet.
Have I told you about... Because he had a stroke probably 2 years ago now. And he was at the point... He was like, oh, no, I'm going to die. Like, he's obviously in a coma at this point. He's like, this is it. I'm going to die. Next time
I have had two very near-death experiences. And I have to say, they were two... When I look back over my life, they are two very... calm and tranquil experiences I've had in my life.
Luckily, your wife come back and cut you down, though, didn't she?
She put
your penis away.
Yeah, she's like, take that orange out of your mouth.
Yeah,
I had two car crashes where I just thought I'm dead. And actually, I never got hurt at all. It wasn't like I nearly died. You know, when you say you nearly died, and people think it means like I was like in a coma and like I was in hospital for 6 months. I didn't have a scratch on me, but
yeah, you could nearly die by a brick falling and missing you by half an inch.
Exactly. But that's a shock. As in, like, you wouldn't know until after it had landed. But I was in my car, lost control, went off the road, and I could see an oak tree, and I was just like, oh, fuck this. And it wasn't scary, and my heart rate didn't go up. I was really oddly calm. Now, obviously, I think that the human body has got, like, mechanisms in play. I think that certain things are released. Well, that's what they reckon that light at the end of the tunnel is. That's actually because, the deleted podcast, I was talking to you about DMT, which I've never taken. But it's the highest, it's the biggest hallucinogenic, or the most powerful hallucinogenic known to man and not people. But that is what they reckon. When you die, your body dumps out DMT, and that's what is released in tiny portions when you dream. But when you die, your body releases it. It's actually a euphoric thing. And then when people die and they see that light at the end of the tunnel, it's actually this hallucinogenic sort of chemical that's released by the pineal gland. Do you know about the pineal gland?
Why don't we get one of those and just sort of press it? Can you do it with a finger?
Then you've got the pineal gland in the middle of your brain. And it's got a lens on it, Ash. It used to be an eye. We actually had a third eye.
I mean, that isn't true, but go on.
There's a gland called the pineal gland. So-called because it's shaped like a pine cone. And it's where people talk about the chakra and the third eye and stuff. And it's still got the remnants of a lens on it where we've devolved from having a third eye. And that is responsible for releasing the most powerful hallucinogenic known to man.
It's so weird, isn't it, that sometimes you talk so much truth and other times...
Well, you talk do about you know chakras, that's not true?
It? Well, you mentioned the word chakra.
No, I'm just saying that that's all bollocks, but that's to explain. That's how people have mystically explained this scientific thing of the pineal gland.
Okay.
I think that's true. But then again, it might not be. Look it up. I mean, off the top of your head, what do you think?
I wouldn't look it up. You know me.
Do you know what the pituitary gland is? This is fascinating. Do you know what the pituitary gland is?
Is it in my thorax?
No, it's in your fucking brain and it releases testosterone. But every time every time you get knocked out or get a head trauma, that little pituitary gland gets rattled and that releases less testosterone to stop you being so brave, to stop you getting knocked out. It's a self-preservation thing. So it's like the more you fight and get punched and every time you get rattled, that's why people that get knocked out, they get your propensity to get knocked out grows. It's like the pituitary gland controls, like, and it starts going, oh, this bloke's a fucking nutcase. We need to give him less testosterone so he doesn't get killed.
I wish that'd work a bit more for those dickheads.
That's the thing. Because when they look at, like, Xboxes and that, they said, oh, we've got the testosterone of, like, an 11-year-old girl. Like, they have no testosterone when they're retired. That's true.
They're literally punched out of them.
Yeah, it gets punched out. Well, people can have, like, a bad
car
crash.
Isn't it also a side effect of taking steroids?
Well, no, that's your bollocks.
Yeah.
Your bollocks produce testosterone. Now, if your blood's full of testosterone, your bollocks go, oh, you've got enough testosterone. We're going to stop producing it. But your pituitary gland actually tells your bollocks to stop producing it. It's a very complicated system, isn't it?
Well, I never.
That pineal thing, you've really made me doubt that now.
Well, you said chakra and third eye, mate.
No, I'm saying that's how people used to explain it. The third eye and the chakra, but there is literally a scientific reason that people say that. So certain people, if they meditate and stuff, I guess they would get this... I don't fucking know, do I? What do I know?
I don't know if you know a lot.
I'm drinking Audi lager, mate. You take any notice of me?
Well, I take notice of you. I just worry about you sometimes.
I've got to tell one story from the podcast.
I mean, I've had these I'm going to chew them up because I've had them in my gob.
Shall I retell the statue story?
Oh, you've got to.
So I was in town the other day. I told this earlier, but I'll tell it again. I was in town the other day and I saw a skaghead looking cunt. And then another skaghead was walking the other way with a dog. And then the skaghead made a beeline for the other skaghead. And I sort of slowed down. I thought, oh, there's going to be some skag activity going on here. But he goes, here, mate. He goes, do you know where the Roman Catholic Church is? And the bloke with the dog went, yeah, it's up there on the left. He goes, you can't miss it. There's a statue of a bloke with his arms like this. And he did the crucifix with his arms. And I was like, oh, come on, man. You must have heard of Jesus. Fucking hell. It's not a bloke with his arms out, is it?
I love that you just hadn't put two and two together.
Never. He doesn't even know what a church. He mustn't know what a church is.
It's a statue of a bloke with his arms.
You can't miss it. It's a statue of a bloke with his arms out like this. And he did like his arms like a full stretch. He went, oh, cheers, mate. The other bloke didn't go, all right. He went, oh thank you. Like, it was
a... I wonder if he meant this one as he walks by.
What if I've never been up there. Maybe it was just a bloke with his arms out. What if it's like an angler talking about the one that got away? Joke's on me. It's John Wilson.
Good old Wilson.
Remember him?
What, the fisherman?
Yeah, you see that there are programmes about him catching fish.
Yeah, imagine that there's fishing programmes. That still exists. That's still a thing.
No, but now they have celebrities where he was actually a fisherman. Yeah. Like, they would now have Robson, what's his name?
Robson Jerome. Jerome Robson.
Yeah, one of them fuckers. And he'll be like, oh, he's going to the Congo to catch a fucking whatever they have there. But then like that John Wilson, he'd go, he'd actually just like a fucking fisherman with no charisma. Go, ooh, I've caught one. Oh, look at this. It's like, yeah.
It'd be a carp again. What are you caught, John? Carp.
I don't know. You probably don't like fishing because of the cruelty aspect, no, but I just think it's fucking boring.
I'd like to sit there quietly on my own.
Any good thing you can do
basically are a fisherman, all bar the fish, aren't you? Like, you will sit just...
I'd rather lob a shopping trolley into the river than go fishing. That's sort of like my angle.
No, and I'm on your side with that. But do you sometimes just sit at home and then you realise that 2 hours have passed and then your wife says, what have you done today? And you go, not a lot. And then you realise that you just sat there and you didn't have the telly on, you didn't have a podcast playing, you weren't writing.
I've started noticing lately I am doing a lot less. My leisure time is I guess it's meditating. I don't know what it is. I'm just sitting there looking at nothing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Same here, mate. Same here. Anyway, thanks for listening to nothing, listener. Sorry that it's late, but, you know, technology.
No, you deleted your side of the podcast, you fucking fruit bat.
If people want to donate to the podcast, Justin, tell me how they can do it. Because Dave Cooper has donated on Ko-fi. How can other people do that? Thank you so much, Dave, by the way. Hugely appreciated.
Well,
thank you very, very much.
You go on the internet there. No, you go to ko-fi.com/pranks. Or you go patreon.com/pranks and furf.
And if you want to buy a t-shirt or a mug, you can now go onto our PayPal pool and pay the money. I've put a link on the Twitter. I tweeted it yesterday. And you can buy a t-shirt. It's £19 or £18 if you're a Patreon. And a mug is £10. And that's just £10 because we're literally not going to make any money on those at all anyway. So they have to be £10. And thank you to everyone who does support us. I think I'm not going to go into details now, but there's going to be a few changes to the Patreon coming up that hopefully you will like.
We've got to change our host because they keep deleting our podcast.
Absolute shit. Yeah. So I apologise if there's some missing. I'm going to try and work on it, but we are going to try and get away. If you're a techno type person and you know how to change podcast hosts without losing people's subscriptions to you, please get in touch because I haven't got a fucking clue.
Well, if you haven't, I haven't.
No.
No. You did a thing on Twitter where you got the name of the podcast wrong on a banana.
That's true.
How did you got my name wrong? Like, you got my wrong name right, and you got your right name wrong, if you know what I mean.
No, I didn't. I put pranks.
Yeah, and you put Friff.
Did I?
Oh my God, Ash. What? You put pranks and Friff.
Wow. Just shows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just shows that you got, that's what I'm saying, you got my
wrong. Look at that, I did.
That's what I'm saying, you got my wrong name right and your right name wrong.
I'll never do that again.
Well, I tell you, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Pranks and Frith podcast.
Yeah.
Well.
It's a good job I didn't bring it up in public because, I don't know. I feel a bit pissed now.
Okay. Well, you sleep well. The June extra podcast will be coming out soon. It's not recorded yet, but it will be. And if you're waiting for the June video, then me and Justin are currently in negotiations as to when he can come to the pod booth and green screen it. You can decide where we be. Where we be?
And, that'll do.
We'll film that. Maybe we'll film that next week.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, listener. Speak to you again soon.
Goodbye.